coming out of the most extraordinary year of our lives, we could complain about a lot. There's a lot that we can complain about. But we can also, like Brittany, just say, God, he's been good to me. God has been good to me through it all. Through it all, God has been good to me. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome. And I want to say this morning, if you can put my notes up, please. Before we do anything else, I do want to take a moment and I want to recognize our chaplain, Reggie, who went home to be with the Lord just before Christmas Day. You probably saw him around this place in a wheelchair for many years, 11 years to be exact. But he wasn't always in a wheelchair. Chaplain Reggie had an accident about 11 years ago, taking stuff off of his truck at the dump. And he pulled too hard, slipped, and fell over the edge and broke his back and severed his spine. And from that point there, he became paralyzed from his head down. And the last 11 years, he's been in a wheelchair. But he never stopped being Chaplain Reggie. I'm sure he did, but I personally never, ever heard him complain. Never. Never did I ever hear him say, why me? Why am I in this chair? But his joy was to be here. His joy was to be with the prodigal sons. His joy was to be out on a bike run somewhere, and he would jump in the van with Cindy and she would tote him over to where they were going, and we would sit there, and just to have everybody around was his joy. He loved that. He loved to just be around everybody. And sometimes I'd see him coming down, you know, Louise in his chair, and I was like, Reg, you better slow down, man. I said, no, I'm good, Bishop. I got this. And I'm going to miss him. Like so many that have gone before, and you know, when you've been in one church as long as I have, as when you've been together as a church as long as we have, then yeah, you end up you see a lot of beautiful things happen, and you see a lot of beautiful people born, but you also say goodbye to some people you love. Reggie will be regarded as one of those angels that we had to say goodbye to. I still remember that. I still remember pastoring, what it was like as a young pastor to say goodbye to my first one I lost, which was Mickey. And I thought, wow, God, you sure took home a big figure from, you sure took somebody from this church, such a big figure from this church. I mean, they're all big figures, right? All of them. Reggie was just an angel, and to us, to me, to this church. And so we will miss him. And I want you to please pray for Cindy, pray for his children. And we're going to celebrate Reggie's life. We were scheduled for sometime the 23rd of this month, but we actually postponed it for a month. We're going to move it back to February because we want to celebrate. And right now, with COVID being so hot, we thought, let's just wait and so we can do it right and have a fellowship and at least do a bike run where we honor him, and that's what we're going to do. And I will definitely give you the date on that in February. But Cindy, if you're watching, you know how I feel about you, about Reggie, and my chaplain Reg. I'm just very grateful for his service to this church. He served this church very, very, very well, and very honorably, and with just love. Amen. Can we give Reg a round of applause? Amen. Yes. Amen. I'm going to miss him. Amen. I know Cal mentioned it. I believe he did. Anyway, prayer starts tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And if we've ever had a cause to pray, it's now. We need to pray. This is a big week. I'm not sure how tied in you are to the elections or how tied you are into politics, but this week is a huge, huge week politically. especially on Tuesday, where there'll be a Senate runoff in Georgia that could change the whole future of our nation. Starting Tuesday, and then on Wednesday is the electors will be going to Washington. That's just a whole process. We need to pray, but we also need to pray for the churches of America. We need to pray for our church, our leaders. We need to pray for this church. And so tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on Zoom, the first 100 people will get in to pray. Everybody else can watch and participate on Facebook, but this is what I'm asking you to do, my church family. I'm asking you to set this time aside, 1 hour, every day this week, just 1 hour, from 7 to 8, and to pray with us. Now, one thing that we have learned by being on house arrest. We weren't on house arrest. It was shelter in place, right? Shelter in place, and we have learned that our communication, our fellowship has been mostly through Zoom. But we've also learned how to multitask. I mean, I've had leadership meetings where I've had, 50, 60 people on my leadership meetings. Some people are jogging, other people are driving, some people are eating, other people are cooking, somebody else is whipping their kid. I mean, I was like, wow. Multitaskers. We have certainly learned how to multitask. But I'm asking you to set this time aside if you can. Tomorrow night, it's Monday through Friday, and all the rest of our ministries, everybody who's been on Zoom or you have your live feeds, they either cancel them or move them at a different time this week because I want us all to focus on prayer. Start a fast. Start a fast tomorrow, any kind of fast. It's something that's going to, it's not about weight, not about the extra weight we put on for the holidays. We're talking about something that's going to draw us closer to God. Start a fast tomorrow. One meal, maybe. Daniel fast. Some people are doing the 21-day Daniel fast. Some can do 3 days. Others are doing 7 days. Whatever you choose to do, do something that's going to draw you closer to God. But definitely join us in prayer. Amen. Praise God. would you pray with me? Father, in your precious name, we love you and we thank you, God. Whoa, got a little dizzy there. Sorry. We thank you, God, and we praise you for your goodness, Lord, and we ask you in Jesus' name to bless this time, God. Bless this moment. Bless, my God, this service, the first service of the year. I pray you bless it, God, in Jesus' name. We give you all the honor and glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yeah, I got a little dizzy there. I don't know what happened. I thought we were having an earthquake, but... maybe it was the Holy Ghost. What? Let me give you a little bit of assessment. And we all know what happened in 2020. So, but for the purpose of understanding about what it means to go forward, let's talk a minute about 2020. We started the year off with double-double. We started the year off talking about Jacob and how Jacob got blessed after 20 years. We started the year off with excitement, with knowing that God was going to do something big. We started the year off on March 8th with first fruits, and then the following Sunday, everything got shut down. Everything got shut down. It was an extraordinary year, and for us to pretend like it wasn't, come on, we can talk about step by step, point by point of what happened in 2020, and we would say first time ever. There was a lot of first time evers. The first time we ever were told to shelter in place. In our generation, it might have happened in other generations, but in our generation, we were told to stay indoors. First time ever businesses were shut down. First time ever churches were shut down. First time ever, there was a lot of firsts taking place. We saw so much happen in 2020. We were told by officials in the government that if we didn't do these things, millions of people were going to die. Well, thousands and thousands of people have died, but not millions. There was a word that carried the year that I think we all can agree on. One word carried the year. It wasn't virus. It wasn't pandemic. It wasn't Corona or COVID. That one word that carried the year and is still carrying people, so to speak, is fear. Fear. fear set in and changed all of us, starting with me. It changed all of us. We all started doing things that we never had to do in our generation. When did we ever have to stock up on toilet paper? We were so afraid that we were going to run out of toilet paper. Who decided that? I'm trying to think about who. Did somebody in the government official, or did the governor make an announcement, or some pastor make an announcement, you're going to run out of toilet paper. Go get toilet paper. Who decided that? But we all went crazy stocking up on toilet paper. Man, we went to the stores and we stocked up on this and stocked up on that because they told us have enough food for a couple of weeks. But that couple of weeks got pretty extended. We were told that, you know, man, you have that pendulum that swings over to the conspiracy theorists. I'm not going to mention any names, Callie and Pastor Carey, but they're conspiracy theorists, you know. It was the end of time, and people started texting me saying that the, you know, army is running down the street already with tanks, and I'm like, what? I'm looking for those tanks. I never saw them. And isn't it crazy how you knew somebody on Facebook who said, I got a cousin who works in the Pentagon. I'm like, how many people know somebody that work in the Pentagon? Everybody I know has got a cousin who works in the Pentagon who said everything's going to shut down and this and that and martial law and before you know it. I'm like, wow, craziness. But you know what it did? It caused fear in us. Fear. And then we ran into the social injustice with the killing of George Floyd and how horrible that was and just an awful situation, his killing. But it spurred on a whole different mess, if you would, in 2020. People started putting masks on and they started doing things and they started beating up on other people. And so such craziness. And it's still going on today. Portland, Oregon is still dealing with it today. Craziness broke out. Fear. Fear gripped us all. I still remember when the mob was told, or when the mob was moving down the streets of, you know, cities and even the Bay Area. And before you know it, I saw a posting, you know, while they're making their way to the valley, making their way to Manteca. I was like, what do we do to them? Why are they coming this way? But well, you're vulnerable because you guys are nice in the valley. I said, have you met the people in my church? But that's what they did. They began to put all over Facebook that the mob is coming from the Bay Area and they're going to come and they're going to be bashing in doors and marching the streets and tearing down the businesses. And I found myself up till about 3 o'clock in the morning just kind of posting, keeping people calm. It's going to be okay. Hey, it's all right. Don't sweat it. God got us. And all the same, I went and loaded up. I ain't going to lie. But locked and loaded. Fear gripped us. Fear gripped us. I want to say, Pastor AJ, it's good to see you, my brother Cassandra. God bless you. I mean, welcome. This is Pastor AJ from Hayward. He has a church, planted a church in Hayward. And my same river of life. Fresh outpouring. Amen. Amen. I got to minister with them, myself and Pastor Gary. And ministered to him also. Was it Darren went with us? No, Pastor Henry went with us and ministered that day. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your future, man. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being here. Amen. And for your team as well. God bless you. Amen. Fear gripped us and gripped us good for the whole year. I'm thankful for leadership, though. I'm thankful for people who stepped up and kept things calm. I'm thankful for you who kept fighting back. I'm very grateful for you. I'm grateful for leaders that began to say, it's going to be okay. Leaders who began to say, it's going to be all right. And you did that. And I'm very grateful for you. Now, I know some people don't like me talking about President Trump from this pulpit here. But I want to point out a leadership moment that I'll never forget that he had. When the virus broke out in April and all of us were sheltered in place and not knowing what was going to happen in this world, from the White House, he quoted Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, and he said, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. And from the White House, he said, "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen in you." I will never forget that as long as I live. As long as I live, I will never forget hearing an American president quote God's word so passionately that way. Not just them, but also too, he began to say, fight, fight back, don't submit. And you know, we did that here for a while, month of March, into the month of April. And then, you know, I got a little bit of coraje in me. I got a little bit of anger in me, and so did you. And our message began to change a little bit. Our message began to change. Hey, fight back. Fight back. You see, because I saw the opportunists come out. You know what an opportunist is? An opportunist is somebody who takes an opportunity to make their lives better off the misfortunes of others. For instance, you run out of gas, and there isn't a gas station of 50 miles, and someone comes and has a gas can and says, "Well, you know what? I think this gas can's worth $100. They know because you need it and you need their service, and so they're going to take that opportunity to better themselves. I'm not crazy about opportunists. I see a lot of opportunists, even people from behind the pulpit called opportunists. I don't like people who take opportunities to better themselves over other people at the benefit of other people. But I started to see, well, this pandemic caused so much fear, the opportunists started to arise. Governors started taking the opportunity. Politicians started taking the opportunity. What? We can control them? We can control them? We now are controlling them. Wow. And I say, you know something? Something's not right here. Fight back. Fight back. I really began to get a little bit frustrated when we've been open for almost 8 months now. But when we did open the first Sunday back, I remember, you know, we gave myself and about, I don't know, a few hundred other churches in our state gave the governor an ultimatum and said, "You can bless us on March 31st if you want, but we're going to open up." He said, "All right, I'll bless you guys to open. The churches can open, but only at 25%. but here's what he said about 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. "You can no longer sing. You can no longer pray. You can't chant. You can't do that." And you know what frustrated me to no end? And I know even my own fellowship that I'm connected with, the Assemblies of God, which I was born and raised in, leadership began to say, "Comply. Comply. You can find other ways to worship." That disgusted me to no end. And I'm not just spreading gossip here, because I spoke to them personally and said, "What you're doing is wrong. You're wrong for saying that. Show some courage and tell your people to keep singing. Tell your churches to keep singing. Tell your pastors to keep singing." The opportunists came out, and they definitely took their opportunity to control. And they're still trying to this very day, folks. And you know what else? Another reason why I knew that? Because I looked at the governor's plan and said, okay, he's got four stages. At the final stage, everybody's good. We're able to go back to our lives. But if you type in his on California.gov, and you go into his plan, and you type in places of worship, at the final stage, when everything's open, he still has there, churches can only open at 50%. Why? Everybody else is wide open, but why is he saying the church cannot go past 50% occupancy? It just showed me there's a lot of opportunists who are trying to control, and I'm not having it. We are not having it. We're not having it. Now, we may be forced to lock down in the future. Who knows? I don't know that. But until then, we're going to keep preaching the gospel, and we're going to keep exercising our rights under the Constitution of the United States. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Regardless of all that's happened, one thing, one person was not rocked by 2020, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not rocked by 2020. And by the way, whatever promise that you went into a 2020 was not negated by a virus. It wasn't wiped out by a virus. You see, we trust the Lord and his word tells us if you sow a seed, you have a harvest. And so in Genesis chapter 8, 22, it says, while the earth remains, there's seed time and what? Harvest time. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. It doesn't say, but except for a virus year, but except for an epidemic year. That's not what it says. It says, as long as the earth remains, if you sow a seed, you're going to get a harvest. So regardless if the clock struck midnight and it's now 2021, if you put that seed in the ground, you now have a harvest coming your way. I'm holding on to my harvest. I'm not going to let it go for a pandemic. I'm not going to let it go for a virus. I'm not going to let it go for a governor, for anybody. I'm going to hold on to my blessing because it's God's word. It's this book. This book, his word is a lamp unto my feet. His word. And you know, for me, if I look back, I'm going to look back only to remember what the enemy has stolen from me. Now, I know I don't want to seem ultra dramatic here. But the times that I had to preach to an empty church here with Kelly and Pastor Eric were some of the hardest times I've ever faced as a pastor. Broken, awful. And I thought, someone's got to pay for this. Somebody has to pay. Someone's got to pay for this. In the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 30 and 31, it says, if you catch a thief, he's got to pay you back seven times. The devil is a thief. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. He's there to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a thief. And we caught him, his motives. So by the way, whatever he has stolen from you in 2020, start demanding it back seven times over. Whatever he's taken from your family, whatever health he's robbed you of, whatever finances he's robbed you of, start claiming it in the name of Jesus and start saying, devil, I take back what you stole. Kelly was prophetic when she said the kids sing, we go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Well, let that be the song of this church. Let us go back to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us. I'm not okay with just leaving it behind me. Oh, well, I'm going to wipe it off my calendar. It never existed. It did exist. He did steal from me. He did steal from you. Because I'm convinced that this virus was from the very core and the pit of hell. Just like leprosy was when Jesus walked this earth. Going forward. Somebody say, go forward. Come on, forward. I was looking at our national bird, if you would. What do you call it? What do you call the eagle? National bird, I guess. Majestic. Eagle, right? Yeah. The way he soars, and you see him on our, you know, letterhead and different things for our country. I'm like, yeah, I'm proud. And then you pull up Australia, and they got a kangaroo and an emu. I even had to look and see what an emu was. What in the world's an emu? Well, it's an ostrich. It's like a smaller version of an ostrich. I'm like, crazy Aussies. I'm like, there you go. Sorry, but I kept on Canadians. If you're Canadian, no, I have fun. I'm not a prejudice against anybody, but I like to cap on Canadians. I like to cap on the French. And I like to cap on Aussies. I just have fun, just like they cap on us. I remember going to a conference in Canada and thinking, I'm still in North America, and sometimes you forget about it. Myself and Cal and PK and Norma were there, And I remember thinking, I even asked somebody, Thanksgiving's coming around. And you guys getting ready for Thanksgiving? I was like, Thanksgiving? you must be American. I'm like, yeah, proud of it, dude. Come on. A, right? But I thought, how strange. Why would the Australians pick a kangaroo and an emu? But when you study that, you know why they picked them? Because they don't go backwards. The two animals or birds, whatever you want to call them, or creations. I'm not sure what a kangaroo is, or I'm not even sure what that emu is. Looks like a bird to me, a big bird. But they're the two only animals or birds that don't have the ability to back up. They only go forward. They only go forward. And I thought, man, we got to be a little bit like that here in this year, 2021. Well, I can look back and say, I'm not going to forget what the devil stole because I'm going to take it back, but I'm not going back to that anymore. I'm not going to go back to that anymore. I'm not going to go backwards. I'm going to go forward. Somebody say forward. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to start dreaming again. I'm going to start having hope again. You see, the Apostle Paul said, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I press onward. I press forward that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has already laid hold of me, which means God's plan for my life. God's plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your 21. He has a plan for your 21. Forgetting means to literally put it out of your mind, to literally put it out of your thinking. Now, I have to work at that. People like me, where some of us are wired differently than others. Kelly can easily let it go. PK, she lets it go. I grip onto things like a pit bull on a shoe. That's just how I'm wired. That's just how I'm wired. And I have to tell myself, hey, you got to let that go. And I'm gripping it. No, I'm not letting it go. And I could stay up nights chewing on that shoe. And sometimes I look at Kelly and I'm like, how is she asleep? It doesn't make sense to me. This is going on, and it's huge, and she's sound asleep. I'm like, push her a little bit. Wake up. Wake up and be miserable like me. Chew on the shoe a bit. See, people like me have to work at it, but that's what this is meaning. That's what this means, is get it out of your mind. Work at it. It doesn't just happen. For some people, it does, because you're wired that way. You're able to, oh, well, let's move on. What a gift that is. I'm teasing Cal, I'm teasing PK, but that's a gift they have. Just move forward. People like me are like, no, I don't want to move forward. I want to sit here right now and dwell on this because of what they said to me and how they said it. I'm not going to let it go. Some of y'all are good at that. We're good at that. We're veterans at that. We know how to hold on to stuff. But this word, the Apostle Paul is forgetting those things that are behind. He says, let me let it go. Let me put it out of my mind. That's what he says here. Let me put it out of my mind so that I can neglect it. You see, when something bad happens, we give it too much attention. If you're wired like me, I give it too much attention. Something that's given attention matters a lot. But the Apostle Paul's saying forget about it, which means neglect it. Neglect it. If you neglect a plant, it's going to die. If you neglect the plant, if you neglect giving it water, it's going to die. But the Apostle Paul says those things that have rooted in your heart and your mind, forget about them, neglect them. And if you neglect them long enough, they're going to die off. They're going to die off. So this word is good for me because I'm one of those that has to, I'm choosing to neglect. I'm choosing to neglect that because if I don't, I'll grip it and I'll stay on it and I'll, people like that, people like me, who are gnawing on that shoe like that pit bull. It's like everything around is like getting better. It's like, leave me alone. I'm gnawing right now. But things are getting good. Leave me alone. I'm gnawing right now. But God's changing the season. Leave me alone. I'm gnawing right now. put it out of your mind. And then he said, press on, press onward. And he's speaking of after much setback. Come on, somebody. You know who's been set back? Who knows what it's like to go through a trial? When he said, when you've been set back enough, when you've been going through trials, when you've been going through viruses, we pursue better by moving forward. Move forward. Man, I believe in coaches. I believe in coaches. I do. Coaches, I love coaching, not just in ministry or church or like this, but I loved coaching sports. I love being coached by sport. I love being coached in sports because they get you to dig down deep and to get going. They get you to believe. They get you to press on. I still remember, I was going through a lot of memory stuff because I was emptying an old computer that I want to get rid of. I mean, it's like 10 years old, but it's got a lot of pictures stored in it. So I was kind of going through some of those pictures and trying to dump them and save some of them. And I came across a picture I had of my coach. My coach. And my coach, Coach Z, football coach, I knew what it was like to lose 3 seasons, my freshman, sophomore, junior year, to win like 1 or 2 games. I think we were 2-28 after 3 years. I felt like a loser. That's what I felt like. I was ready for my senior year, and I was ready for it, but as we got closer, I realized nothing's changed. We're going to lose again. Look at my record. Look how many losses we have. Look how many times we have lost. And every week, you know, the coach gets me to believe, we're going to win. No, we're not. We're going to get killed. I know what it's like to be in a game and to get beat down 66-0. That's what I know. That's what I knew. So I remember this was the big game. The first game of the season was in September going ready for a practice game. And I was like, whatever, let's just get through this. And the coach stopped me in the corridor at the school. And I have a picture of this. It was put in the yearbook. And he's looking right at me, and I'm looking out this way. And I'm like, got my arms crossed like this, and he's right here in my ear, almost like Sergeant Carter and Gomer Pyle. You know, I mean, he's in my ear, and he's like talking and talking. I'm looking forward. I'm like, but you know what he was saying to me? I still remember this conversation. I don't care what your record says. I don't care that you've lost 28 games. He said, I believe in you. I believe that you're going to win. I believe this team can win, and you got to start believing it too. You're so caught up, he said, you're so caught up in your losses, you can't see anything in front of you, and you can't see how good this team is right now. And I kept saying, but we lost 28 games. He said, I don't care. You're a winner, and you're going to win, and this team's going to win. I ain't going to lie. I heard the Rocky theme about that point. Right there. Dun, 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 dun. Right, I really did. Well, we went on to be ranked the fifth best team in Northern California that year. And I believe because somebody believed in us and told us, don't get caught up in yesterday's losses. And that's something as we look back, we're looking back to just grab what the devil stole and to make sure we got payment coming. But don't get caught up in yesterday's losses, because if you get caught up in yesterday's losses, you're going to lose today, and you won't be able to see what God's going to do tomorrow. God wants to do something amazing in your life. Press on. Shake off yesterday. Press on. You're a winner. You're going to win. God has a great plan for your life. Press on. It's a good plan. It's not a bad plan. It's a good plan. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The word of God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. And you have to know, if you've been with us this year, you know that I'm in it, right? I decided to become a pro at knowing what coronavirus was for the sake of my church. So I'm in it every day. I can tell you who the main doctors are, and I can tell you all the stuff, the statistics. I can rattle them off to you, what all the stats are. It's just I've been in it because I wanted to be informed for my church. But even with all that, with being informed and knowing where I'm at right now, we are in the highest point of coronavirus in this county. In fact, for about a day, a week ago, we were the number one county in the state. For one day, then went right back to LA County. But for one day, we were the number one county of coronavirus infections in the state. In September, we were at about 2,000 people infected on a certain day. Well, about a week ago, we were up to about 65,000 people. It's real. It's real. But even in all of that, there's hope. Even in all of that, it's stirring up in me. Even in all of that's happening, I have this hope going on in me that is from God, because God has a plan. He has a great plan, a plan, he says, to prosper you. Well, who doesn't want to be prosperous? I want to prosper in God, and I want a plan. He says, I plan to give you hope. Hope. Now, listen, I said it this morning in the early service. I'm saying it again. On January 20th, this is such a huge week this week. A lot's going to happen this week. Stay tuned. But if Joe Biden gets inaugurated on the 20th, I will pray for him like the same way I prayed for every president the last however long I've been serving the Lord. I won't support his agenda, especially that of pro-choice, pro-death after the baby's even born. I will never support that stuff. But I'll pray for him as a man, as leader of this nation, if he's inaugurated. But he already said something that highly disappointed me. He said, America is entering in the darkest days it's ever seen. The darkest days it's ever seen. He said, don't get excited just because a vaccine's come out. He said, next year's holiday season, no way. It's going to be dark. I'm like, I absolutely reject that. How does he know? How does he know? He's not God. How does he know? I'm hearing God's word, and this is the report I choose to believe, that God has a plan, and it's a good plan. It's a plan to bless us, a plan to prosper us, a plan that is good, and it's from him. So what do? We can put a bag over our heads and walk around and pretend like nothing's good. Or we can quote God's word and say, but God. Yes, I know things are hard right now, but God. Yes, I know things are going on around us right now, but God. God has a plan for you and for this church. He has a plan for CWC Life. And I want to be part of it with you, and I'm excited to be with you in this plan. I have hope for 21. Now, I know sometimes you might think I think too much. I've never regarded myself as being a thinker, but I've been thinking a lot lately. My daughter, you know, Rye and Cora are in between houses right now, and so they're living with us, which is bliss. My girls are with me. But Cora made a statement. She said, because I was talking about a new station. This is how old I am. I'm old. A new TV station that's come out of Sacramento called Me TV. And they have all the old programs. Gunsmoke, The Rifleman, The Ponderosa. On Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, they have Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. On Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. I was up. I was watching it yesterday. Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. They have I Love Lucy. They have Leave It to Beaver. I mean, they have all the old shows that we watched when we were kids. And I'm talking about this, and Corey says, well, I thank God for that new station, Dad. At least we don't have to watch the news every day like you've been doing. Excuse me? But it's true, right? It's true, because when you're in it so much, you can tend to be in it too much. I know the numbers. I know what the number of people that have died. I know what the numbers are globally. I know what could happen in the future, especially with those who are taking the opportunity to control. I know what could happen in the future. But God, I have hope. God, I feel him more than I ever have. I feel him. You see, the church has been shaken. In the beginning of this pandemic, and I'm going to close up, stay with me. In the beginning of this pandemic, you heard me say, don't accept this as a new normal. Fight, fight, fight. Fight for our old normal. But the truth is now, folks, some 8 months later, CWC will never be the same. CWC is not the same that it was in January of 2020. It's not the same as it was in December of 2019. This church will never again be the same because some folks have decided they're not coming back. Some folks have decided they're not even going to go to church anywhere. Some folks have decided online's enough for me. The world has gone through a financial reset, so they say, but I see the church has gone through a reset. I believe that God has shaken the church, and we have actually had to have a discussion. Is the church even essential? Should the church even be open? Some pastors will never open their churches again, and they've said it to me. So I think I'm done. Just like businesses. Oh, we're done. We're not opening again. So, well, some pastors have said the same thing. With all of that's going on, with all the things that are happening in our country, with all the things that are happening in the churches, I hear and I feel hope. I feel hope. I actually feel it. And I can see what's happening all around us, but you know what else I see? I keep seeing the 21 number. You know, Kel, put it up back here. I keep seeing that. 21. Well, and sometimes you read in the Old Testament, 21 can represent judgment or the end of judgment. Let me tell you what I see, what God's been speaking to me. Take the number 3. The number 3 represents resurrection power. On the third day, he rose from the dead. 3, Trinity. 3. Divide 21 by 3. What do you get? 7. The number 7 is the number of God, the number of perfection, the number of completion. Pastor Kerry said the number of fulfillment. Now you get 3 of those bad boys, 7, 7, 7. 7 times 3 is 21. I've never been a gambler. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You go to those one-armed bandits. Don't raise your hand. Don't say amen. I know who you are. You make it big, you better believe you need to tithe. I ain't one of those pastors. I'll take that dirty money, save it. No, just bring it. We'll sanctify it. We'll sanctify it. Now, if you hit 777 on a slot machine, who knows what that means? Jackpot. You won big. I still remember the first time I ever put money in a slot machine. I was like 16 years old. We went on a tour, my brother Tom and my sister-in-law Laura and their camper. On our way back from Canada, we just stopped off in Reno. We were in a KOA, and the KOAs had slot machines in their campsites. I mean, you know, by the pool. I was like, and so next to it was a little casino. I went minding my own business, walking around 16 years old, and I was like, So let me just, it looks like fun. Looks like a game, one of those pinball games. Or let's look fun. It was a fun atmosphere. So I took out some quarters and popped them in. Boom, I hit it big. That thing started pouring out quarters like you would never see. I'm like, I started loading up my pockets, filling my pockets with quarters. I'm running back to the campsite to tell my brother. He's like, you did what? I said, he said, you got to be 21 or 18. I was like, nobody said anything. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Now, I'm not condoning gambling. I'm not condoning that at all. I just know that 7, 7, 7 means you just got lucky. But in the kingdom of God, it means fulfillment. It means fulfillment. It means he's going to fulfill the promise he made you. Would you stand to your feet, please, everybody? He's going to fulfill the plans he has for you. He's going to fulfill everything the enemy has stolen from you. He's going to take back whatever the devil's stolen. He's going to fulfill his promise. I believe that with all of my heart, and I hope you do too today. Hope. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Hope. And if you want to be one of those like me where you have to work at it, well, then work at it. Then work at it. And tell yourself, hey, stop dwelling on the past and start believing for better. Start confessing better. Start declaring better. Start declaring the goodness of God upon this year. Start declaring the goodness of God upon your family. Start declaring the goodness of God upon your church. Start declaring the goodness of God upon your country. Somebody's got to rise up and believe. Someone's got to rise up and believe. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to live. You're going to win. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Let go of yesterday's pain. Let go of yesterday's heartache. Let go of yesterday's disappointments. And there are many. Let them go. And choose to have hope. Lift your hands in the air right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on all over this place. I prophetically speak the word hope to you. I replace that word fear with hope. I replace that word fear with the word hope. In the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I replace that word fear with hope. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hope that things are going to get better. Hope that God's going to fulfill his promise. Hope that he's going to bless you. Hope that he's going to save your family. Hope in Jesus' name. Come on, let the Holy Spirit deposit that into your heart right now. Let the Holy Spirit deposit that into your heart right now. Hope in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just sense right now in the spirit that depression is being broken off of somebody. I just sense right now that depression is being broken off of you. Sadness is being broken off. Despair is being broken off. In the name of Jesus, receive that. I speak joy over you. I speak peace over you. Peace. I speak peace over you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive that word right now in Jesus' name. Let me give you one last word before I dismiss you this morning, church. And it won't be long before we're going to full-blown altar calls again and doing all the things we should be doing. Just going to get past this uptick. On the Cup and the Word this last week, we had Sam Rodriguez on, Pastor Sam. He wrote a book called Survive to Thrive. So I had him on, and, I just got done with surgery, and so I couldn't stay long, but by the way, Cal was holding down Cup and the Word, and if you're not tuning in with us on Cup and the Word, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Cal was trying, she held it down with the, she did her best. And Ratings went down a little bit, but the intern held it down. Thank you, Kel. Pastor Sam came on, and he wrote this book. And by the way, we do have your copy. Some of you bought a book that day. We have your, Cal's got your copy, your extra copy, that is. And he said, Bishop, read John 20, 21. This is so cool. John 20, 21. He said, read John 20, 21. John chapter 20, verse 21, and it says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Peace. Peace to you. Peace. What did he say to the storm when the storm was raging? Peace, be still. What did he say to the storm when he was in the boat when the storm was going to take them down? He said, peace. How can you have peace right now? Because you know he's in control. Not a pandemic, not a government. He's in control. Receive that word in the name of Jesus. Come on, just say, I receive that. I receive that. Praise God. I'm excited to do 2021 with you. I love you with all my heart. I'm honored to be pastoring this church. So is Kel. We want to thank you for sticking with us. Let's get ready. Amen. 2021. Let's get ready. Let's have a great year together. Amen. Let's have a great year together. The doors are open over there and over here. You can exit this way. Spanish will be coming in. We have a gift for the kids. Right, Kel? A sweet, a candy. Amen. Amen. Isaac, God bless you, son. Amen. God bless. We're praying for you. Amen. Alicia, also, we were praying for you in the military. God bless you. Thank you for serving. Amen. God bless you all.